Okay, today is the third Sunday in January, and it's a day known as Sanctity of Human Life Day. That's a day that many churches have set aside to make special efforts to be advocates for the unborn and to flood our culture with biblical teachings regarding the sanctity of human life. I want to ask you, and I know you've probably been asked this question before, how much is a human life worth?
Put no price on the human life.
Can we honestly put a dollar amount on
no,
life?
No, I don't think so.
I personally believe the biblical truth that every person is made in the image of God. So think about it. If we are made in God's image, can you honestly put a dollar amount on a life? Thank you. And I'm equally convinced that our increasingly secular culture today either does not recognize this truth or simply does not care and chooses to ignore it. We live in a culture in which life is cheap and becoming cheaper at an alarming rate. Children fall victim to sexual predators and are murdered. Teens are killed for a few dollars, an ounce of drugs, or a pair of trendy tennis shoes. Older people are killed for their money, their cars, or simply because they're in the way of others. Senior adults often are seen as easy targets of violent crimes involving abuse and theft. In our culture, the cheapest lives seem to be the lives of the unborn. Abortion on demand has become accepted so thoroughly that little thought is given to the countless human beings developing in the womb who have been discarded because of unwanted, inconvenient pregnancies. And the argument rages over when life begins. I firmly believe that life begins at conception. When Gina was pregnant with both Slade and Sophie, she had the 3D ultrasound pictures made. I brought Slade's today. I don't know how much you can see from there. This picture is just kind of far off and just kind of shows his nose. But you can clearly see his eyes, his nose, his face, his hands, his feet. There's no mistaking that this form inside her tummy was a human being.
How long, are they?
Well, this was on October 8th, and he was born February 7th. Mm-hmm. I think it's like 32. No. I don't know. I'm just going
to
be honest.
They don't determine the sex when they do those to their 19 weeks.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. They determine the sex at 19
yeah.
weeks
mm-hmm.
of somewhere.
Yeah, something like that. So, proponents of abortion on demand disagree heatedly in the fact that life begins at conception. Contemporary American culture allows and promotes a disturbing trend, a persistent devaluing of life in the womb, as well as increasing threats to elderly people and other vulnerable human beings. Murder and crimes of violence demonstrate that many consider other lives to be cheap. Some believers may not have worked through the biblical truth that every human life from womb to tomb and at every point in between is infinitely valuable because every person is made in the image of God. Other Christians believe this reality is true, but their actions rarely support their beliefs. And then there are others who have become involved heavily with the cause, perhaps by helping fund pro-life centers, assisting victims of abuse and violence, or caring for elderly or dying family members. I know that there have been several in our church and in the Sunday school class who have volunteered with Save a Life, and some may still be actively involved with them. I shared with you that before my mother passed into eternity, I read to her from my father's Bible several chapters from the book of Psalm. Psalm 139 was one of them. This past week has been hard. I missed her a lot. And I just wanted so terribly to call her and hear her voice. So when I read this passage again as our lesson, Jesus just comforted my heart, reminding me that I shared these verses with her right before she stepped into eternity. Psalm 139 was written by David to praise important attributes of God, his Creator. So let's turn there now, and we'll begin our scripture reading. Psalm 139, and we're going to begin with verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. David addressed his song to the Lord, which means literally Yahweh, representing the personal covenant name of God. David wrote from the perspective of someone who had a relationship with God by faith and lived according to the revealed covenant of God. He marveled that God had searched and known him. The poetic description does not imply God had to learn by investigation. God created David. The phrase was used by David to indicate the amazing wonder of God's interest in him. How amazing is it that the Creator would want to know us in such an amazing way? Verse 2. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. God's knowledge of us is constant as he watches over us continuously. The fact that God's knowledge includes our thoughts demonstrates nothing can be hidden from him. People can only guess what others might be thinking. God, however, is omniscient. He knows everything. Not even our thoughts are hidden from him. Verse 3. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Another contrast David used was that of walking and lying down in rest. This contrast expresses the totality of our days from activity to sleep. This constant surveillance by God gives comfort to the obedient and should give pause to those who disobey him. Faithful believers can know God is watching, protecting and blessing them. The disobedient should know there's no possibility of hiding sinful actions from him. Verse 4. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. David added another amazing aspect of God's knowledge. Not only does he see what's happening in time, but he also knows what will happen before it occurs. God's perspective is unique and omniscient. His present knowledge gives comfort to faithful believers who know he has a plan for them and their lives and is working it out day by day. God's knowledge of the wicked also comforts the believers, knowing that he limits their activities and one day will hold them accountable. Verse 5. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. David affirmed that the Lord had stationed himself all around David. God's omnipresence is related to his omniscience. The idea of God having his hand on David emphasizes God's direction for every believer's life. God's knowledge of us is hands-on and not simply a detached intellectual knowledge. Verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. David referred to God's knowledge as extraordinary, too wonderful for him to grasp. God's knowledge is unlimited, and our knowledge is finite. The most brilliant of human intellects cannot be compared with the greatness of God and his knowledge. God's knowledge of us implies his love for us. The value God places on knowing people should encourage us to want to know other people. Believers have a special incentive to share the gospel with others and to uphold the sanctity of human life. Because God values every human being as worth knowing and keeping up with, we too are to value every human life. Verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? As David said before, God's unlimited knowledge is related to his omnipresence. David's questions asking where someone could go or flee from God's presence are meant to be answered with the word nowhere. All human activity and thought is monitored by God, and he will bring every secret thought and action to judgment. Committing the perfect crime or sin, one in which the perpetrator believes he or she will escape justice, is ultimately impossible because of the unlimited knowledge and presence of God. Verse 8. If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. David emphasized the omnipresence of God with another figure of speech used in contrast. He imagined taking trips up to heaven and below to Sheol. In Hebrew, this is thought to be the underworld or place of the dead. The term heaven first appears in Genesis 1:1 and represents in this context the highest point of the created order. Sheol refers to the lowest point in creation. God's presence at both extremes indicates the reality of his presence everywhere in between. Our growing knowledge of the vast universe through scientific exploration only increases our appreciation for the immensity of the God who created it. Verse 9. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. So having emphasized God's presence vertically as north and south, In verse 8, David now used the horizontal extremes of east to west. The dawn represented the rising of the sun in the east. From Israel's perspective, the setting of the sun represented a westward direction toward the Mediterranean Sea. Verse 10. Even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. In verse 7, David referred to the futility of fleeing from God. He spoke of the comfort of God's omnipresence from the standpoint of a faithful believer. Here in this verse, David reiterated that wherever he might be, God's hand would be there to guide and protect him. As Christians today, we can also be grateful for God's presence at all times in our lives. God promises never to leave us or forsake us as we follow His will throughout the course of our lives. The sanctity of human life calls on all believers to also uphold the value of human life, from conception to natural birth to natural death, because God is willing to be present with and to give guidance to every person. We also are to value every human being as worth relating to in positive, helpful ways. Verses 13 through 16 are critically important to the biblical doctrine of the sanctity of human life. God's involvement in the development of each human being from the moment of conception makes the process not merely biological, but sacred. These verses provide powerful arguments against the modern view of abortion on demand. So if you want to know where to go in the Bible, this is where you will go. Psalms 139, verses 13 through 16. And we're going to read verse 13 now. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. David affirmed God's purposeful involvement in his development in his mother's womb from the earliest moment of conception. The Hebrew word inward parts literally referred to the kidneys. Figuratively, it represented the place of inner desires and thoughts. Being created in the image of God sets human beings apart from the animals. We are created to know God. But because of our sin, we can only experience a relationship with Him through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 14. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. David praised God for his formation in his mother's womb. The mysteries of conception, prenatal development, and birth continue to exhibit God's creative power still today. Our increased knowledge of human development has not diminished but enhanced the miraculous aspect of each new life that emerges. David emphasized his awe of the miraculous nature of prenatal life with the phrase, remarkably and wonderfully made. The word wonderfully in Scripture refers to the miraculous and powerful acts of God. Scientists have been able to discover some important principles involving genetics and other biological aspects of human beings, but the physical, emotional, and spiritual capacities of human beings have not been fully discovered. Humanity is the crowning achievement of God's creation. Today, we still stand in much awe of his work as David did thousands of years ago. Verse 15. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Only recently have modern imaging advances allowed us to see what had been hidden for most of human history in prenatal development. And they're talking about the, I think now they even have the 4D ultrasound. I'm really not sure what the difference is, but I know it's they're making progress each and every day, updating things. David knew God's intimate knowledge of him was not limited to life after his birth. David used poetic language and metaphor to describe the unseen world of prenatal development as the depths of the earth. Darkness is not dark to God, and the secrets of development in the womb are not hidden from God. An important implication of this verse is that God determines our physical and intellectual capacities. Our self-esteem should not come from comparison with others, but from knowledge that we are designed by God and each of us are unique. We cannot take credit for our abilities, and we shouldn't feel inferior to others created with different capabilities. The verb translated formed literally refers to the intricate work of someone who weaves or uses intricate colors in making fabric. God's work in developing us in the womb displays his divine skill and brilliance. Verse 16. And your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. The Hebrew word translated formless literally means something wrapped up, and here refers to the human embryo in development. In essence, David declared in this verse that God knows all about every part of who we are, what he intends us to be and do, and what the extent of our days will be. This verse should not be used to remove human responsibility by teaching a fixed fate for individuals. God has a wonderful plan for every single life. But only those who put their faith in Jesus Christ and yield to him can fully experience that plan. The reference to God's book could be a reference to the Book of Life. In any case, it is a wonderful tribute to God's sovereign knowledge of every person, including every child in the womb. The principles here offer the opportunity for powerful biblical discussions among Christians. These verses also raise questions for faithful believers. If God is in control of prenatal development, why are some couples unable to conceive? Why are there miscarriages and deformities? Only God can ultimately answer these questions. The inability to conceive, like so many other disappointments in life, belong to the hidden things of God. What is clear from these verses is that God is the author of life. He determines that life in the womb is valuable and should be protected. We're going to skip down now to verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. Here Psalm 139 comes full circle by returning to a focus on God's intimate knowledge of us. David invited the Lord to search, know, and test him. One purpose of the thorough divine examination was for revelation of any need of correction. We can be sure that God is aware of our every need and has already prepared the help we need. The plan God has for our lives includes tests to strengthen our faith, but He will never let us fail if we live in obedience to Him. Nothing surprises our God, and nothing hinders Him from caring for us each day. Verse 24. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. David asked God to reveal any words, thoughts, or actions in him that were offensive to God. He also asked God to lead him in the everlasting way, that is, in God's way. Believers can be ignorant of sins in their lives if they're unfamiliar with God's word or lack sensitivity because of spiritual immaturity. We should constantly be asking God to help us be aware of any sinful attitudes and actions that offend Him, including wrong actions, inaction, and attitudes about life's value that we might be harboring. So what can we do to uphold the sanctity of human life today? We can start by praying. We can support crisis pregnancy centers through our donations and volunteering. We can also be diligent in urging lawmakers, the ones we vote into office, to protect our most vulnerable and innocent citizens, from the unborn child all the way to those in the final stages of life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for the opportunity, Lord, to stand and witness for you and your amazing power and your amazing love and your amazing mercy and grace. Lord, how wonderful you are, far above our knowledge, our wisdom, Lord. And when we ponder your greatness, when we truly focus on how wonderful you are, Lord, it can only lift our spirit to think that you made us in your image because you loved us. Lord, I thank you for your Son that you gave on a cross. Lord, who bled and died for our sins. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us when we fail you. Forgive us when we sin, Lord. and those that we're not aware of. Lord, reveal it to us. Open our eyes. Open our hearts that we see your truth, that we recognize your truth, that we will live your truth. Father, we pray for the sanctity of human life today. Lord, how precious a newborn baby is to hold, to look into the face and see the miracle that you have created, that you have made. Lord, remind us that it's you telling us that even we were created by you and that you love even us. Father, help us and show us the ways that you would have us to contribute to the sanctity of human life. Lord, use us for your glory, that you alone will be glorified. Lord, be with us in our worship today. Lord, may it be pleasing to you. May it glorify you. May it bring honor to you. We love you, for it's in your precious holy name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Did you see where they had closed the abortion clinic in Birmingham?
No.
And